Welcome, Cubs fans, to the inaugural episode of Locked On Cubs, newest part of the Locked On Network. I'm Ryan Davis, going to be your podcast host, and hopefully bringing you all kinds of great Cubs chat over the rest of the offseason and going into next season. I'm a writer for FanRag Sports, the Sporting News, do a whole lot of different baseball stuff. Some of my highlights are been credentialed media at ball games, and I was at the playoffs this year. I'm in the clubhouse talking to the players and the coaches, and I think I fair to say that I've got a good sense for the team. So this is gonna be fun. I've never done a solo podcast before. Some of you may remember me from BP Wrigleycast on BP Wrigleyville, and I did that with two or three other guys on any given night. So this will be something new for me, but I promise I'm gonna work hard to keep it getting better and bring you a daily or semi-daily podcast that I can be proud of. So first thing we're gonna talk about is Tyler Chatwood and Brandon Morrow, two pitchers the Cubs signed, leading into winter meetings. Then we'll look ahead to what else they could be doing at the winter meetings, and our final segment, we'll talk about the Cardinals and the Brewers, what they've already done and what they should be doing going forward. So the Cubs signed Tyler Chatwood a couple days ago, and I wrote on FanRag Sports that I thought that was a pretty big risk. A lot of people have pointed out that even though Chatwood pitched at Coors Field, had a bad ERA at Coors, he had a great ERA on the road over the last 2 years, and that's true. In 157 and a third innings, he had a 2.57 ERA on the road, which is great. But there are other concerns too, and if you want, you can go find the piece at FanRag Sports. It's titled, "The Cubs Are Taking a Huge Risk on Tyler Chatwood." His road FIP, which for anyone who doesn't know, that's fielding independent pitching, takes kind of luck out of the equation, just looks at things a pitcher can control. It was 4.23, so not great. I went ahead and took those numbers from 2016 and 2017 and put them together as if it was one season, just his road numbers, just Chatwood's road numbers. And I ranked them where each statistic would rank among the 90 major league starters that pitched 140 innings in 2017. It's a wonky hypothetical, but it gives you an idea for those who are excited about his road numbers translating to Wrigley Field. This is what it is. He would have been 63rd in innings pitched. He doesn't pitch a lot of innings. He has yet to pitch, a really full season. And I think he actually set his career high in 2017 with like 158 innings pitched. He would have been fifth among the 90 starters in ERA with his 2.57 on the road over the last 2 years. His FIP would have ranked 47th. His xFIP would have ranked 52nd. His strikeout percentage would have ranked 60th, and his walk percentage would have ranked 89th among the 90. Add in the batting average on balls in play, which was 222. That would have been number one because that's just extremely low. So there's a lot going on there that I think is important when we talk about Chatwood and his road numbers. He walks way too many people. The balls in play generally have been, turned into outs, which is great. That's what you want. But there's a lot of question about will that regress towards the mean? Now the Cubs have a great infield, and Chatwood is a ground ball pitcher, so there is room to hope that maybe he can continue a low BABIP, but not necessarily this good. The other issue that I have with signing Chatwood and giving him 3 years and $38 million is the fact that he has had two Tommy John surgeries, and just in general, the list of pitchers who have come back from two Tommy John surgeries and still had somewhat of a career is very low. I think Chris Capuano has done it. There was somebody else, I'm forgetting who's done it, but it's just not that many. And in the article, I cite some pretty good information from a study that's been done on pitchers with two Tommy John surgeries. And it basically says they end up not pitching very many innings, and walking a lot of batters, and that's kind of where Chatwood is at this point in his career. So, he has great stuff. He throws 95 miles an hour. He has a big curveball that, could get a lot of swing and miss, but can he command his pitches? Can he throw innings? I think it's possible that he can, but there's just a lot of risk involved in signing him. Same thing for Brandon Morrow. He had an amazing season with the Los Angeles Dodgers last year, but this is a guy that last year was his flash in the pan, I think. He was a starter early in his career with the Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays. He had elbow inflammation and forearm issues, and just deals personally with type 1 diabetes. And has said that pitching in a relief role is better for him personally because of that. So, not necessarily that's why he became a reliever, but that's one thing he dealt with early on in his career. He had shoulder surgery a couple seasons ago. Just in general, he hasn't been on the mound all that much. I think he pitched about 16 innings in 2016 with the San Diego Padres. He signed as a minor league free agent with the Dodgers in January 2017. I wasn't pitching all that well at AAA. There was a clause in his contract that he had to be up on June 1st with the big leagues, in the big leagues, or they had to cut him. So they ended up calling him up just to give him a look. And then he pitches 43 and a third innings, is outstanding the rest of the year, has, great movement on his slider, just a phenomenal addition, very important to getting the Dodgers to the World Series. And they leaned on him hard in the postseason. Anyone who watched the Cubs in the NLCS saw, how much they were using Brandon Morrow. In fact, he's one of two pitchers now who has pitched all seven games of a World Series. So I have concerns. People are making the point that there's a lot of volatility with relievers, and I agree with that. The money necessarily doesn't bother me, which is I think it's 10 years, 10, sorry, $10 million over 2 years, and then there's an option that we don't have a lot of information about yet for a third year. But that isn't an issue to me. The problem is that the Cubs have such a mess in their bullpen. They're losing Wade Davis, most likely. Carl Edwards Jr. has great stuff. I mean, he has the big curveball and the fastball with, the spin rate. That's all great, but when he loses the strike zone, he's unusable. And he did last year. There's just a lot of issues with this Cubs bullpen. They don't have Hector Rondon anymore, so you're not counting on him to return to form at any point. So right now, there are a lot of question marks in a bullpen that was very bad in the second half, that's losing their one really truly reliable pitcher in Wade Davis. So just replacing him with Morrow, I think, is possibly a pretty big mistake, and at the very least, it's very risky. One point that I made to somebody was, if the Cubs go out and sign three other relievers, or sign two and trade for one, however you want to do it, I think this is fine. Then you can take a risk on this guy, but if they sign, Pat Neshek, let's say, and say, okay, now we've got Morrow as the closer and Neshek as a middle reliever, and then you've got Edwards and Pedro Strop and Justin Wilson, Mike Montgomery, on and on and on. That's going to be our bullpen. What do you do if Edwards all of a sudden can't throw strikes? And, Pedro Strop is solid as he always is, but, then Brandon Morrow's on the DL. Where do you go? Is that a dominating bullpen like the Dodgers and the Astros had to ride to the World Series? That's my question. That's what I have on those two. And before we go into our second segment, little bit of a sponsor read. If you have a company that is interested in the sports fan demographic, your company should be sponsoring Locked On Cubs. Our rates are reasonable. Email me at lockedoncubs@gmail.com to find out. All right, second segment. Let's talk about the winter meetings. Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are already making moves. Brandon Morrow's done. From what I understand, the Cubs are going to be looking at more relievers. Don't know exactly who that's going to be. If they are still in on Wade Davis, I find that hard to believe, but it's possible. They could be looking to spend more money on relievers. They could be looking at a starting pitcher. I know there was the Chris Archer rumor from Phil Rogers a few days ago, but I don't really see that as a major rumor. Rogers didn't say that there was actually smoke and fire on this. He just kind of pontificated that the Cubs would be interested in making a deal. Well, of course they would. They need a starter. Archer's really good. He doesn't make a ton of money. It makes sense. They've had interest in Chris Archer for a long time. Now, they've never been able to match up with the Rays on a deal like that, but I think there are reasons for that. So could a Chris Archer trade happen? Yes, of course it could. Do I think that's likely? Probably not. I think the Rays could probably get something much better from another organization with a deeper farm system than what the Cubs have now. A more realistic move is Alex Cobb, another Rays pitcher. I think that's what you can expect for the Cubs to come away with in the winter meetings is some sort of deal with Alex Cobb. Maybe it's 3 years, $50 million or $55 million, but that would be, I think, how I expect them to round out the rotation this week at the winter meetings. And that would give you a pretty solid 1 through 5 with Kyle Hendricks, John Lester, Jose Quintana, Cobb, and then Chatwood, who, like I said, there's risk with him because of the two Tommy John surgeries, but I think Chatwood does have some pretty good stuff, and we have seen that he can pitch some good games. So there is some optimism for me for that rotation going forward. As for the rest of the team, I don't see them making a ton of other positional moves at the winter meetings. I think this is all about pitching for the Cubs right now. Once they get their pitching settled, maybe they'll start looking at tweaking the rest of the roster, but pitching is number one. I think we saw in the NLCS that the pitching just wasn't on par with the Dodgers or the Astros. And that it was bear it bears out in the record too, right? Like there's a reason the Dodgers finished 12 games ahead of the Cubs in the standings. The Cubs had a good team coming off of their World Series in 2016, but the pitching just wasn't good enough. And losing Jake Arrieta, who was one of their better starters in the second half, and losing Wade Davis, who was so reliable, it makes it even harder for them to improve for next season, having to make up where they were and what they're losing. So pitching, that's what you should expect. And if the Cubs don't add a couple more relievers and another starter that you think you could put in Game 4 of a playoff series, that's going to be a big issue going into 2018. All right, final segment, last thing I want to talk about. The Cardinals and the Brewers. Going into the winter meetings, the Cardinals have a couple different needs. They've added the pitcher from Japan, the kid who was with the Rangers, Milos. That's kind of an unknown, but I think a lot of people expect him to be a number 4 or number 5 starter. And that kind of fills a role if Lance Lynn is gone. I think we can count on the Cardinals having a decent rotation again next year. The major place where they were lacking in 2017 was their bullpen. They blew 18 saves as a bullpen and actually nailed down 43. I think that's like a 70-some percent save rate as a team. That's just not good. They're not going to be able to do that in 2018 if they plan to contend, but when you consider that they only finished 9 games out of first place, with how bad their bullpen was at holding leads, if they had had a good bullpen, if they had had the Dodgers bullpen, are they much closer in the division? Yeah, I think they are, and that says a lot about a team that was pretty mediocre overall. Dexter Fowler actually had a pretty good year at the plate. Paul DeJong had a great season, so there are some things about this Cardinals team. I would not write them off just yet. The Brewers are going to be right there too. Unfortunately for them, they lost Jimmy Nelson to an elbow injury that is going to put him out for probably all of 2018. And that's a shame for them because he was pitching like one of the better pitchers in the National League last year. So they've got Chase Anderson and Zach Davies at the top of their rotation. They probably need at least one more bona fide starting pitcher from the free agent market. I've heard rumors that they're looking at Jake Arrieta. I know a lot of Cub fans won't like that, but that's where they're looking. That kind of thing. They want to make a real splash and add a real starter. And then maybe the last two spots in the rotation will be going to guys like Woodruff and those other kind of guys who haven't started too many games. Maybe Zach Hader, for example, could be one of those starters. But the Brewers also need a second baseman. They had Neil Walker playing there last year and Eric Sogard. Those guys are both free agents. So could they get in on the Starlin Castro trade with the Marlins? That's very possible. So there's a lot of stuff that both of those teams need to do to keep pace with where the Cubs are. But the Cubs can't rest on their laurels either. They obviously have moves they need to make, and this is an improving division. So it's going to be really interesting. The winter meetings are always fun, and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen over the next few days, and then I'll get back on here and we can talk about it. If you have thoughts or suggestions on things that you would like to hear me talk about, you could tweet it at Locked On Cubs, or you could email at lockedoncubs@gmail.com. Send me your thoughts, send me your suggestions, what you want to hear. Just to go over a little bit about the podcast, it's not always going to be solo. I'm going to probably bring on guests at some point. I've already talked to a few people who have said that they'd love to come on as guests. So this will be something that kind of changes going forward and hopefully brings you good and honest Cubs talk, informative, intelligent, well thought out, and easy to consume, I guess. So that's it. That's it for episode one of Locked On Cubs. And hopefully the winter meetings go well, and we have tons of cool stuff to talk about in a couple days.